Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Today's Thursday, May the 30th, and we want to welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And so I'm giving Michael just a few minutes to get up here, so I'm going to keep talking. We're in Greenville? I'm not sure. We're in Michigan somewhere just outside of Ionia, and we've been walking around this morning. Absolutely beautiful day. They're calling for rain later. So we thought we'd get our little exercise in this morning before showtime. And so tomorrow morning we head back over to the prison. We're looking forward to that. We had an awesome session as we shared yesterday. And so I want to welcome Michael to the show.
Don't hear anything yet.
He's here.
Thank you, dear heart. It's wonderful to have this opportunity once again to share this ancient understanding and to bring it to wider and wider circles around the globe, this idea called forgiveness, which quite the opposite of what our culture teaches, what we're looking to do, is to bring the understanding of the ancient technology of how to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged from your structure. And of course, in deciding what never belonged, we have a formula for doing that, and the formula goes like this: hold a newborn child. Now you know what a human life is. Nothing else belongs in your experience than that. And as you recognize that, then each time something else shows up in your experience, you move into the process of forgiveness. And forgiveness has nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook because you're experiencing something inside of you. The mind plays tricks on us and has us believing that what's happening inside of us is caused by something outside of us. And that's a total fraud. You can't experience anything outside yourself through your body's mind and have a feeling caused by that something else. Things happen outside of us, and those things resonate or bring up in us feelings, but the feelings are totally and completely internal. And so if you're interested in engaging, if you're new to this and you're interested in engaging in the process of forgiveness, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. In the upper left-hand corner, you find a link that says Start Here. And that's the starting point, and that will give you Chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? We'll give you the worksheet process, and then there are at least 6 shows where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. So we invite you to tap in and put the tool to work. It's an awesome experience when you start to use it. And you'll just watch as the drama and the trauma, the pain and the turmoil begin to disappear from your life. It's not an instant, overnight kind of thing. It's really about changing a whole belief system that the world is the cause of what you feel and recognizing that you're responsible for what you feel. That doesn't mean you're guilty. That doesn't mean you're to blame. Doesn't mean it's your fault. It's just That's what's in you. And when you recognize that, then you have the opportunity to start to change, literally change the content of your own mind. And changing the content of your mind is called forgiveness. So that's what we're here to support you in. And Jeannie, do we have David with us? Do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
Dr. Tim,
how do you be, sir?
Doing very well, thank you. What part of Michigan are you in?
We are in a little town called Greenville, Michigan, which is about an hour north of Lansing, not far from Ionia. We got a place up here near the prison. We're about 25 minutes or so from the prison that we worked in yesterday and that we're going to be back in tomorrow. And our time yesterday in the prison, or actually, it was the day before yesterday, no, Tuesday, was just awesome. Thank you for covering the show for us, by the way. And the response, virtually every person in the group is like, we want more. How do we get more of this? And it looks like Rex and Mitzi are going to pitch in and start an ongoing support group there. And then they're coming to do Laws of Living this summer. And after doing Laws of Living, they're going to start to teach the Laws of Living in the prison system. So that looks like the plan, and that's where we're heading. We do have invitations into two other prisons, and we've put out some communication to see if we can set that up before we leave here. We're going to plan to leave here on Saturday morning, probably make a stop in Lansing and then head on to Tennessee. But if the door opens for us to get into either of these other two facilities before we leave here, we'll be taking the work in, and if not, then we'll leave the door open for Rex and Mitzi to tap in and share the forgiveness work. But just such willingness and such receptivity from the whole group. It was just, and also the interaction, the questions. You know, we took an intermission and said, we'll be happy to stay here and answer questions during the intermission. And in both sessions that we did, most people just sat and did questions and answers. I mean, far more interaction than we usually get from any group. It was just really, really powerful.
Sounds wonderful.
So yeah, it is. It's awesome. And one of the most hopeful things I see in it was of all the jails and all the prisons that I've been in over the years, I've never gotten a welcome like this one. And these folks, the administration really seems like it's ready to make some shifts and changes and really ready to be there to support these guys in learning how to change their lives. So to be able to go into the highest security prison in Michigan and take that work in with that kind of welcome was really a privilege and delightful. We actually finished here last Saturday, but with that opportunity to do that, we were going to be heading on to Tennessee. We just stayed an extra week to take advantage of these opportunities to present in the system here. So it's pretty cool.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Anything exciting in your world?
Well, things are going very well here. Busy in my practice, and as we talked about on Wednesday, the very nice support group turnout. We had 15 people plus me, and lots of good questions and people processing things from the week before, and another person doing their first worksheet in the group out loud, so people being brave and speaking up, and just lots of good stuff happening. And as we mentioned yesterday, I think it's worth mentioning again, the Pope coming out and saying salvation isn't just for a few or just for the ones who belong to our church, that, you know, salvation is for everybody. And that message and kind of redefining salvation and being born again, I think that message is getting out in more and different ways and different languages. And I think it's a wonderful sign of moving toward critical mass.
Absolutely. I agree. And, to move into the definition of salvation as not something that we need to be saved from outside of ourselves, but to recognize that the pain, the trauma, the drama, the insanity that we do is caused by the dynamics that are going on inside of us and that we always have the option to change those dynamics. And that's a piece of technology that went missing almost 2,000 years ago when Paul took over the teachings. And, you know, for the last 45 years, we've been working on restoring that understanding on a global level. And I think the energy's moving in a way that we're ready to see a real critical mass shift, and things are about to change.
Yeah, I was listening to the interpretation of the Lord's Prayer from Yayam, the Aramaic.
And right.
It put me in mind again of how we talk about, and you have talked about how from the ancient Aramaic, the definition for prayer is making a trap or setting a trap for God, making a space, and that so much of what we're doing in this work is just that, clearing out everything that doesn't belong there so that we can be filled and have our conscious awareness focused on what truly is our nature and what our inheritance is, and that holiness being whole as in complete, and that holiness being without all of the garbage that doesn't belong there. And that just as we do a worksheet, as we do a breath session, as we do a mind shifter and clear out the garbage that doesn't belong there, it's setting a trap for God. It's opening up the space to be filled by something in our true nature, and that we're swimming in, literally swimming in. It's like the story of the two young fish swimming along, and the older fish swims by and says, "Hey, guys, how's the water over by you?" And the two fish are swimming on, and the young fish says to the other one, "What's water?" And it's really our life. We're just surrounded by evidence of love and creation and good deeds and this powerful, palpable energy around us, and yet we fill ourselves with pettiness and busyness and distraction and judgment, and so we don't even notice what we're made of and what we're living in. So those are my thoughts for the day, just that I'm so appreciative of having tools to help me clear out what doesn't belong there, just to make a space in my awareness for what I already am and what I'm living in.
Yeah, I'm
Are you there, Michael?
I am. My mute button's being a little funky. My apology. But the line in the Lord's Prayer that says, "Carve out a space in us for wholeness," and that as you engage in the forgiveness process, that's exactly what we're doing, is carving out that space that's been filled by the hostility, the fear, the insanity of the world. And instead of living as we're designed to live, if we don't understand that those feelings come from inside of us, that they're caused from the content of our own minds, then whenever someone comes along and resonates them, we have this really dedicated belief that it must be their fault that I'm feeling this, and that we have the opportunity to change all of that. And by forgiveness, we're literally carving out that space inside of ourselves to remove everything unlike our true nature, and be restored to who we are right from the get-go, which is this awesome active presence of love.
Yeah, we have our friend Julie Haverstick called in sometime last year, I think, with a beautiful phrasing. I forget how she said it, but something about how every time we're doing a worksheet, we're sanctifying ourselves, or it was just wonderful. But she's got a great take on it too. Maybe if she's listening, she can help us remember. I don't remember whether she tied it into a lesson from Course in Miracles or something else, but there's just something that's been coming to me about how there is a spectacular process that happens every time I'm willing to do a worksheet that's just opening a space for so much more than anything angry, bitter, resentful within me.
Yes. Yeah. And the only anger and bitterness and resentment we need to be saved from is our own. Can't feel anybody else's. And there's where the whole game was turned around backward when it was externalized. You know, the so-called evil force was made something outside of us. And the cause of our pain was someone outside of us. They made me angry. They made me afraid. They made me sad. I'm shocked each time I pick up a book on that's ostensibly about forgiveness. And the most basic principles are just unknown. I remember picking one up a couple of weeks ago, and there's a minister who's talking about forgiveness, and his whole conversation is about, well, when they make you feel bad, you know, as if somebody else could make us feel anything. And once that externalization occurred, once we made it all outside of ourselves, then this, it was logical that we would forgive them. That is, we would pretend to be letting somebody else off the hook. But, of course, when we let somebody else off the hook, that doesn't change anything inside of us. And the whole idea of forgiveness is to open that space inside of ourselves, directly access the root of the pain, the turmoil, the trauma, and remove it, forgive. So we're on track. Jeannie, do we have anybody with a question or a thought in the chat room? Or do we have anyone with their hand up in the phone queue?
We actually have four hands up. So,
well, let's hear from somebody. Let's say hello.
Yeah. So the first one is area code 810. You're on the air.
I have a question.
Who are we talking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Gail. If you keep
say it again.
If you keep doing the work and things just keep getting worse and worse, what do you do?
The first thing to do, what was your name again?
Gail.
Seal?
I'm sorry, Michael. I've been doing this work for quite a while. I saw Rex yesterday, and it just seems like things are going from bad to worse. We got mm-hmm. something in the mail today. Now she wants visits to be supervised. And I don't understand when we're doing everything. We're trying so hard, doing the worksheets, clearing out the stuff. And I don't know. It just seems like it gets from bad to worse. Nothing ever is getting better.
Well,
that sense that everything is great, I'm just like, I don't think so.
Right. I hear you loud and clear. And the first thing I would offer is that when you're doing the forgiveness process, if you're doing it to change something outside of yourself, if you're doing it to change someone else, probably going to have a tough time. This work does not promise that if you do your work, other people will change. This work promises is if you do your work, you'll change.
I know.
And
over time,
there will be a tendency to reorganize everything happening around you. I've seen cases where that happens, I mean, virtually instantly, you know, and I've seen cases where it takes time to shift those internal dynamics and to recognize that when I'm focused outside and I think that my pain is about what's going on outside of me, then I lose my awareness that my pain is coming from inside of me. And when I lose that awareness, I'm going to tend to intensify the pain because I have to push harder and harder and harder on it to keep the fact hidden from me that this is something going on inside of me. Yes, something happens outside that triggers it, but this is going on inside of me. And if you look back and you think about, you know, where your life has been in terms of your pain, your trauma, and what's gone on in your world, you look at your parents and what's happened with them and what's the depth of the pain that they've had and your parents' parents, and recognize that we are literally these multi-generational, the body-mind unit is this multi-generational database that is filled with whatever is going on from the generations. We actually just finished doing an interview with a magazine in Sweden, and the young woman who was doing the interview shared with me, as I talked about what healing looks like, and I made a comment that we actually begin to undo these genetic influences, and that we experience literally what's gone on in our ancestors' lives. And she was just like, oh my God, that explains a lot. Back a couple of years ago, she did a piece of work and dealt with some pain, and all of a sudden she found herself craving alcohol. She had never drank, but her father was just totally locked into alcoholic. And so here's this woman who's never drunk in her life, and all of a sudden she finds herself craving alcohol as she's dealing with this pain. And that's a piece of the healing process. And as you shift from the focus being on the outside and never looking inside, and you lock your breath down and you eat the food of the culture, sugar, junk food, do whatever drugs the culture does, antidepressants and everything else, locking all of that down and holding the breath locks in literally generations of pain. When you start to open that, and you'll recall that I've said in the workshops previously, healing is not Dr. Feelgood. That's the reason most people don't want to engage in healing. Most people would rather just, give me a pill, doc, shut this part of my brain down. Literally, in effect, saying, kill this part of my brain. I don't want to feel it, thereby condemning their future generations to the same, because those patterns just tend to unfold. If you become the first one in the bloodline that says, I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to allow this to open in me, and I'm going to move through it, you're opening yourself to a huge piece of work. We're not saying this is a fun thing you do over the weekend. We're saying that you're opening yourself to really cleaning up your genetic history. And as you do, the dramas, the traumas, and the pains will intensify. If I've gone from where I eat a junk food diet and, perhaps do my, little tipple of scotch every night or whatever it is that I do, if I say I'm going to stop those things, I'm going to start to vitalize myself, and I'm going to begin to access what's inside of me, it's going to be intense. And we're up here in northern Michigan, and about 15 years ago, I was up in Grand Rapids, and I did a workshop, and there was a fellow who was a professor at a local college teaching Greek studies. And he came up to me afterward, and he was just freaked out. It's like, you can't teach people to do this. People will just go crazy. You can't teach them to open that part of their minds. It's like, well, if you don't ever open that part of your mind, there's a Greek story about Pandora's box, and they said, the message basically was, don't ever open Pandora's box or you're in big trouble because you don't know what you're going to find there. Of course, they didn't tell us at the same time that if we never opened Pandora's box, our whole lives would unfold and look like Pandora's box. That's how we create the crazy circumstances that we get ourselves into. And when I recognize that and I say, okay, I'm going to start to tip the lid on this Pandora's box inside myself, I'm saying that I'm ready to do a major piece of work. I'm ready to go inside myself, and I'm ready to deal with everything that's in there. Not Dr. Feelgood. Not a fun process to do. But here's what I'd offer. If you keep doing your work, if you keep using the tools, and I'm saying this from 45 years of experience of watching people just go through some pretty berserk times, if you keep doing your work, you will peel out those layers of pain and trauma that you and probably no one in your bloodline have ever been willing to open and look at before. And as you do, you will open the energy window for everybody in your bloodline to be freed from those dynamics. It takes a lot of courage. And yes, I'm very aware of it. It can become very intense when you open it. If I'm not looking, you know, life works. It's a little drama. It's a little drama. My relationships don't work very well. I don't get close to people. And, you know, if I do, there are blow-ups and crazy things that happen. But, you know, I can kind of cope with that. But when I turn inside myself and I say, I'm the first one in my bloodline that's going to open this on this level, you're opening to a major piece of work. And I'd offer that while there's a circumstance outside of you that is not changing the way you'd like it to, that is not the cause of your pain or your turmoil. The cause of your pain and your turmoil is what that resonates or opens up in you. And my vote for you would be to, and what I would be here to do is to hold the space and support you, being able to move through those things inside yourself, opening the space for your son, as I know he's willing and doing his work, to open that space inside of himself, and to hold the space for your grandson, to be able to move as he grows into this space of love, rather than following the old family pattern and the old dynamics. It isn't Dr. Feelgood. It isn't easy. It's a major piece of work. This isn't, you know, kind of a just a fun thing somebody does over a few days. We're inviting everyone into a lifetime of work, of cleaning up the generations. And I hear your pain.
All right.
And I understand that you'd really like the external circumstance to change. But I'll just keep reminding you that the external circumstance is not the cause of your pain. If you can go to that external circumstance with the mind freed of pain, that's where you will be most empowered to be able to be guided to do whatever it takes to change that circumstance. But looking at that circumstance through the filter of pain and fear and anguish weakens your ability to be the clarity that you need in order to really, truly do what it takes to change it.
Okay. Thanks.
And so, you know, we're here to hold you in our hearts, all three of you, and to breathe with you, and to hold the space that you can come to the point where you really are, as the matriarch of the family, you really are that space of love for your son, for your grandson, and for the estranged daughter-in-law that I understand is just really going through some things in a way that's pretty far out. So we're here to hold the space. And if there's any question that you have on the process or any way else we can do to support you, you've got a whole community. You've got people right now all over the globe that are listening to this conversation who, having been trained in this work, are literally beaming love in your direction, really being in that space of love. You know, if you think about your grandson, the first time you held him, and just go back, the first time you held that little guy, what word would you use to describe him, the true him?
Well, actually, Michael, when I first held him, I was trying not to love him because I felt like something was going to happen.
Breathe. That's a powerful admission.
And my daughter said, I can't believe you are fabulous with children. I've never seen you hold back, ever. And I said, I just know we're going to be incredibly hurt by the situation, and I don't want to get close to him, because if I get close to him, that I'm going to feel pain.
Okay. So now I'm going to invite you to get close to him. And I'm going to inform you.
I just can't talk anymore. I just got to work this out. So.
Okay. Well, do you want to just stay with
us?
Anyway. Can I share a few more thoughts and you stay with us? Even if you don't say anything?
Sure.
Okay. So my input would be that the pain that you knew was coming, was a pain that existed inside of you already. And I'd invite you, as we're talking, to just really imagine going back and holding that space, holding him for the first time, and doing your own mental worksheet on this is going to lead to pain. Because that's the kind of energy that supports and brings about the circumstance. And when you recognize that we are each creators, as creators, it's through the mind energy that we hold that we create. And when I'm committed and I'm convicted that there's going to be pain in this situation, then I help to contribute the energy to that. Does that mean when somebody else does something crazy that I think is the cause of my pain, that I've made them do that? No. We're all participators in this. And so I'd invite you to go right back to that first moment and do some forgiveness around those thoughts and those feelings. And that will tend to open a different space and help to move the outcome in a different direction. But coming to the place where you can be that awesome active presence of love in the face of all of this is the most important contribution you can make to your son and to your grandson. And one of the ways of doing that will be to really tap into, without your own filters of fear set, really tap into his awesome presence and feel that love that he is. And let that love come into your physiology and heal you. That's one of the most powerful ways that you'll be able to support him staying in a connected space of love and being able to literally, as a creator, we're all creators. The child isn't at the point where we're doing it consciously yet. It's all done according to the patterns that are held in the genetics. But as you can hold that space and tap into and strengthen that presence of love that he is, he will literally tend to start to create different outcomes around him and a different kind of support around him. And I invite you to just fall totally, what the world calls, fall totally, completely, 1,000% in love with him. Be in the space of love with him, and that's one of the most powerful things you can do to throw off your pain, to throw off his pain, to throw off your son's pain, and create a different outcome. Okay. So that's just the space we hold for you, and know that you're in our hearts, and I hear you loud and clear, the pain that's going on. I wish we'd gotten to connect yesterday. I had texted Rex, and Rex told him where we were doing the radio show, and I was hoping that we might be able to connect, but unfortunately that didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'll just keep trying.
Okay, we hold the space. Lots of love and blessings.
Bye.
Jeannie, you've got another hand up.
We do. We have three more. The next one is 517, and I think this might be Rex.
Awesome, Rex.
Hey, hi, everybody.
How do you be, sir?
Michael, Jeannie, I'm doing really well. I appreciate it. I did have something I wanted to share. Part of my reason for raising my hand is just to acknowledge the courage that it takes for Gail to call in and reveal her vulnerability and her pain. And you know, that's just huge. I mean, huge. And I just, that's the main thing. Go ahead. I didn't hear you, Michael.
Oh, go ahead, Rex. I was just saying I agree.
Yes. I'm going to turn off. I realized I have some music on in the background. Turning off there. And this question of when something is really, the intensity, when it's becoming, it feels overwhelming. I think everyone who's been in this work for any period of time and actually has been in the body has felt that at one point or another. But when we're doing our work and your recommendations, your advice was right on, spot on, it is when this is surfacing, it would be really, I would love to be able to just say, well, you know, this young man's going to be fine. You know, everything's going to be okay. And what I've come to understand is that I'm not in a position to make that determination, or even if it's what I'm being told. I learned some valuable lessons when my son made his transition journey. And I was told by my divinity, my best shot, that he was going to be okay, and he was going to be physically okay. He was going to be alive, and everything was going to be okay. Well, you know, it didn't turn out in the way that I had interpreted my divinity as to what it meant by okay. But my point was that there's some things that just happen, and I like you, Michael, I can relate to how it might feel for Gail and her family seeing the process unfold and the what appears to be a relatively large amount of insanity and a lack of justice. You know, and I use the word appears to be because I'm not there. I'm not talking to all the people. I'm getting it through, you know, secondhand and through others' content. But it definitely has sure looked like it's going in the opposite direction of what my perception and my content would say justice would be. And the most important part of it for me, and I heard you say it over and over again, Michael, but it isn't always reassuring. That's the difficulty of it, is that you're right in the middle of it because it's there to heal. That's why it's so intense. And you've said this a number of times, Michael. You know, our children and our grandchildren will work our material. And that would be my language, and you don't say it quite that way, but we'll work the unconscious, we'll work the carbon-based material, and they'll continue to work it until we clear it, and they can have a window open for them to actually clear it, and it may be really easy for them to clear it if we're able to clear it. But they reflect it in living color and Dolby sound. They don't have to be living in our immediate space. It can happen through twins that get separated at birth, and it happens that way. So that feels more reassuring to me when I realize, okay, I got it. This is painful. It doesn't look like it's going the way I want. But if I continue to cancel my goal on what I want and the outcomes that I'm trying to work with and that I would like to see happen, and I'm able to just keep breathing and consciously cancel those goals, I see shifts happening, and I do see shifts in the outcomes. You know, and like you mentioned, Michael, sometimes it takes a little longer than other times. It can be very challenging.
And when I say, even Rex, when I use the words, this is painful, I'm in denial. I'm hiding the part of me that I need to heal. If I say, this is painful, I'm saying to my mind, show me that the cause of my pain is outside of me. And now I reinforce the pain and can't change the pain. And just by that subtle shift of language, because words tell our mind how to build our realities, when I shift and say, you know, I don't like the way this is going, and it's bringing up a lot of pain for me, then I'm giving my mind permission to show me the root of my pain, and that's when I can begin to undo it and let it loose. And oftentimes I'll go right back to genetic memories, like I was saying in this interview I did with this woman in Sweden this morning for this magazine. I mean, when I shared the symptoms of healing and the things that tell people when they're in a healing process, and when I shared with her, one of the things that happens is that as we crack open those old realities within us, we'll literally go back and crave the drug that was used to suppress whatever that issue was. That's one of the ways you can tell that your symptoms are healing in process. And when I said that, she was like, oh, I went through a process for about a month, and I've never drank in my life. My father was a horrible alcoholic, and it was just like, click, the lights went on. Here she was, never having drank in her life. She said, maybe a couple of times in my life I've had about a half of a glass of beer. She said, that's all the alcohol I've ever had. And all of a sudden I went through this major upheaval, this major healing crisis, and I'm wanting to drink. She literally cracked open the genetic component my take on it would be the genetic component of her father's alcoholism and was able to do that. But if my language isn't really precisely allowing for that, then in denial, I keep hiding those things. And, you know, the most desirable thing we can do, as far as I'm concerned, is to keep cleaning our language up and to keep coming to the point where I own what I'm feeling, what's going on inside of me, and it's caused by nothing outside of me. Although I look at a circumstance and say that's the cause, the truth is that's not the cause, that's the trigger. I can't feel in my physiology what isn't in my physiology. If something can trigger it, it's in fact a gift, and I'm a contributor with my pain, my unresolved pain, my unwillingness to deal with my pain. I literally send an actual measurable energy wave to that event that helps keep it in place. And as I collapse each reality at each level, I can shift through those things and open the space if there's room for a different outcome, for that different outcome to occur.
And Michael, everything...
Go for it.
Go ahead. Yes. And I didn't realize I had said that, but I may have. I wasn't fully conscious of it, the part about pain. But I fully acknowledge everything you're saying is accurate. And that is something that was a theme today in my session. And it is accurate, 100%. I had one other thought that came into mind to mention. I have seen in the period of time of working with Gail just an amazing discipline, being truly discipled, properly taught, that she has maintained and an integrity of working through issues. She has been phenomenal. And it's a testament that she would call in and show up for her appointment yesterday. And just because there was so much there. So, again, I reaffirm to her and to the group that we're all seeing her in that strength that she truly has, that she's actually accessing a deep, deep generational reality that is of pain in her that she's changing. And the other thing, when you said you triggered something in me, Michael, is that when we're tapping into these deeper levels of sadness and grief, and there are apparent chemistry that is linked to that. Like we talk about hostility, that's a more evident one. It's like a drug; you just feel it, and it overrides, and it's used as anesthesia. I wonder if there are levels of that when we start tapping into the generational realities that is similar, and we might all of a sudden be tapping into something, and our whole body is, like you said, craving alcohol, or inclined to try to, you know, do something with that drug of hostility that we're tapping into on a generational level, or grief or sadness. I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Absolutely. If I come, you know, when you look at the layers that need to be healed, you know, and this is one of the things I've acknowledged so many times with both you and Mitzi, with your son's passing, the layers of grief that you've been willing to just embrace and love and to move through and to embrace and love and to move through, it's monumental, and I think has created just a huge space for healing within that whole community in Lansing. And I think it's awesome. And, you know, when you stop and think about how many generations do you suppose in your bloodline, Mitzi's bloodline, has there been, especially with Mitzi having that the genetic component that had taken the life of her two sisters? You know, how many generations do you suppose have lost a child and had no concept of forgiveness being a key to changing the pain, and therefore just became totally and completely lost in the pain? I mean, to the point where, you know, parents have committed suicide. Parents have totally abandoned their other children because they're lost in the pain over one child. And no concept that this is something that can be worked through. And so when you choose to do your work, you know, basically what you're saying is, and that's that step two in the latest reality management worksheet. First of all, I choose to love truth, and I'm willing to embrace all of the disease-producing energies from all my relations. And I kind of took that word from the Native Americans, understood this perfectly. They said, you know, when a Native American person goes into a healing ceremony or a sweat lodge, the term they use is metaquiasin. They're doing it for all their relations. That's what that word means. And that's what we're doing here. And we're saying that, you know, if you go back to the Aramaic and the physiology, the sins of the fathers are past. That those, and that word sin, simply meaning, of course, an archery term, when you fire at the target and you miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells sin. Every energy that's gone into every generation has to be faced and dealt with. And, you know, when we start recognizing, you know, when they first started doing genetic research and this research on the genome, they started out saying 95% of our DNA was junk. They could see no use for it. They're revising those numbers, but my input would be that DNA, every single piece of it, is totally and completely functional, and it carries literally our whole bloodline, literally every thought, every feeling, every reality. That's why the child looks like the dad. That's why the child, 20 years later, even if the dad was never around, turns his head like the dad, smiles like the dad, cracks a joke like the dad, because that's all born and bred in us. And what Yeshua was teaching 2,000 years ago was how to crack that open and clean up the aspects of it that didn't belong, and to recognize that that was his invitation. And not being understood, it disappeared. It's been gone for 2,000 years. And as far as I know, I don't know anywhere on the planet where they've got the comprehension of how to crack open that dissociated mind and how to access those things, which is an invitation into, you're going to deal with everything in your bloodline. And it's major. It's a major piece of work. I think that's one of the reasons why Yeshua's teachings were disappeared. Because who wants to do that? Who wants to deal with all of that? Let's forget it. Give me a fifth of scotch. Let me forget it. You know, I don't want to deal with it. And the courage that it takes to turn around and say, no, I'm going to go in and I'm going to keep doing my work is just awesome and amazing. And it's not Dr. Feelgood. You know, also, you know, one of the things that Dr. Tim shared the other day when we had a young lady on the show who went into a major healing crisis right in the middle of the show was the tapping that hits the meridian points. And Tim, maybe you'd want to share that once again. I hope Gail is listening, and maybe tell her some of the areas on the wrist and such to tap to help to balance the meridian points and process out the emotional energy.
Well, what happened in the last call was it was right near the end, and so I gave a shortcut version. There's a very good set of information you can get from www.emofree.com. Also, that the same link I think takes you there. Gary, G-A-R-Y. THINK.com. And I send people there because this was the creator of that very simple tapping technique who put it on the internet for free. So you can get a tremendous amount of information and watch him work with people and see the points and without having to sign up for all kinds of things or pay money. But essentially, the energy meridians come in the fingertips, go through the body and leave out the toes and in the toes and up through the body and out the fingertips. So if you're rubbing or stimulating your wrist just above where the wrist bone is, or tapping as vigorously as you want, either down on the top of your wrist and then flip your hand into the underside of your wrist and you're tapping, it's a shortcut for hitting all the energy meridians. If you do that on the left side and then on the right side and turn the wrist over, and then you can do the same thing on the ankles, is tapping just above the ankle bone on both sides. And you can do that as gently or as vigorously as you want as you're taking nice deep breaths and thinking about how this process is stimulating and reconnecting the energy meridians, the acupuncture meridians through the body. So that's my best recommendation is to go to the website, GaryThink.com. And he has a lot of good information there for free.
Fabulous. Gary, P with a...
Think, as in
pink
thinking.
Pink as in the color pink?
No, T-H-I-N-K, as in thinking. I'm putting my thinking cap
on. Oh, Gary Think. Okay, I got it. Cool. Well, thank you for that input, sir.
You're most welcome.
Rex, is there anything else you have to share for Gail in the way of support, Dr. Tim?
No, I just echo that what you and Rex have both said, that's very courageous, and we're sending love. We're just holding the space of love for everyone involved.
And
Rex,
I just acknowledge the very same thing. I mean, we're a team, and we're all in this together, and we're working with it. And you know, when we say our prayers, just see the family, the people in question that we're talking with, Gail and her son and her grandson and her family, wrapped in that pure love. And you know, that just supports them more, and it helps all of us, because you can't do that without doing it for yourself as well. So thank you so much for program. I know you had other callers. Let's see if we can't tap into the callers and offer even more support. Thank you for all the love and support.
Okay.
I'm going to
go
ahead and meet.
Let me share a story that just comes to mind as I'm just hearing both of the input from both of you. We did a workshop in Key West back about 20 years ago, and there was a young gay man there who had been totally and completely rejected by his father. His father just all his small life, and when he exhibited effeminate characteristics, hated him, derided him, would beat on him, and just, you know, I mean, it was just a life of hell until, at I believe it was 15 years of age, he left home. He started to do this work. He was probably doing it for about 6 months when he came to his first intensive. He did a 9-day, why is this happening to me again, intensive. And for 9 days, he cried. For 9 days, he didn't stop crying as he processed this pain and this trauma with his father. He would share with me that once a year at Christmas, he would go up mainly to see his mother. But, of course, it was his father's home as well, so he'd be there. And for all the years he'd been doing that, and I don't remember now how many years that was, but for many years, he would come, and his father would just ignore him, had disowned him. When he started doing this work, that 9-day intensive, he went back home, and he kept working on this issue with his father, and at Christmas he'd go back up. It took 10 years for him to come through the other side of it. And he shared this when I was doing another workshop in Key West back a couple of years ago. He had gone home for Christmas, again, to see his mother. And the first night that he was there, he was getting ready to go up for bed. And he went up to go to bed, and his father came up to his room and came over. Now, this guy now is about 50 years of age. His father came up to his bedroom and tucked him in bed and said to him, I just want to make sure that my little boy has everything he needs. Here's a father who for 50 years has hated his son. His son, instead of getting lost in that hatred, does his work. And the turnaround is now his father is processing the pain of the loss of his relationship with his son. But the final manifestation was, I just want to make sure my little boy has everything he needs. He's still dealing with this 50-year-old man as a little boy, because in his mind, his emotional growth stopped in relationship to his son when his son started to exhibit effeminate characteristics and he couldn't handle it. All of a sudden, he's handling it. These energetic dynamics go on generation after generation after generation. Somebody has to get big enough to put an end to it. facing it, dealing with the energies of it that well up from the generations that create a flood. You know, that story of the flood is about the unconsciousness that comes up. Somebody has to get big enough to hold the space for these things to be cleaned up on the planet in order for the insanity that people do out of their own trauma and pain to change. Somebody has to do it. And I acknowledge every person who puts their hand to the plow, who has the courage to reach out and even begin the process. If at some point they stop because it's too much for them, I understand. And I've seen it take as much as 10 years for somebody to come back and go, what was that you said? I know I need to do this, and come back on board with doing it. So I certainly understand, and we hold the space. Jeannie, do you have another caller for us?
Yes, I have two more callers, actually. The first area code 765. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. This is Sunny, and I'm from Indiana, and I think all of you, and for time's sake, Dr. Tim, God bless you. I continue to do that piece. And thank you for the website information. And Jeannie, you walked me through some stuff a couple times too, dear. And I spoke to you yesterday about the grieving process, Michael, and I'm going to talk very quickly here. I wrote some things down on a separate piece of paper about what I might be grieving. And the last one that I wrote happened to be the father of my daughter, my first daughter that went to spirit. And then last night I was very tired, went to sleep at 7. And throughout the night I kept waking up and I had a dream of him. This morning I got up, wrote this down, started doing worksheets on him, and the word unworthy came up. And then these other words of where I thought all this time I was working on my monetary, if this helps anyone, my feeling unworthy or abandoned or non-deserving is come back to where restricted communications from past relationships I feel is what I've been carrying over and attaching myself to. And I'm excited
to
share with
you. Nice catch. That's a nice piece of work.
Yeah, you got to let that stuff go, right? Michael, I come up, I don't know if you have any material, but I was so lifted and so blessed through that worksheet process. I did like 7 of them at like 5 o'clock this morning. I come up with what I feel might be a document that we might incorporate if you don't already have something like that. And I call it the Declaration of the Gift. And if you don't mind, I'll send you a text picture because we're running out of time on the
phone. Okay, you can do that. Thank you. All right.
So grateful to all of you, and my prayers go with you, Gail. You have just know that I understand in such a way, and I'm praying for you and your family, dear. God bless you, and just keep on going. You're so blessed to have Rex right there with you. Hold on.
All right, thank you for your call. Okay, blessing.
Gee,
we're down to about 60 seconds. So probably
yeah, the other
that caller
dropped. The other caller dropped. They must have realized they were going to be out of time.
Well, maybe they could be our first caller tomorrow. It'd be awesome to have the show start off with a call, and our appreciation. We've completed our workshop travels for this season, and we'll be heading to Heartland. So the next intensive that we do will start in the latter part of July. If you look on our website, you can catch our schedule if you're ready to take your work to the next level. We'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, 9-day teacher training, 16-day Laws of Living. We're here to support you. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.